This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. Honesty and history, truth and reconciliation, that's our focus this hour. Whether it's on a stage as small as between two people who share wedding vows, as large as a nation of more than 300 million people, or local communities of thousands, hundreds, even dozens of people trying to find ways of coming together to overcome the forces keeping them apart. Sound from Charlotte, North Carolina, last night, protests after a black man was killed in a police shooting. Police said the man named Keith Lamont Scott had a gun. Here's the scene in Tulsa yesterday.
Hands up, don't shoot! Hands up, don't shoot! Hands up, don't shoot! Hands up!
Protesters outside Tulsa's courthouse protesting last Friday's police shooting of an unarmed 40-year-old Terrence Crutcher after his vehicle broke down on his way home from class at Tulsa Community College. These incidents are alarming and familiar, but in the case of Tulsa, Oklahoma, the shooting of Terrence Crutcher cannot be separated from the echoes of an incident back in 1921, a race riot over 3 days which killed 300 people in a violent battle between whites and blacks that has few, if any, equivalents in American history. The Department of Justice and Oklahoma State authorities, by the way, have launched investigations into the current Tulsa shooting. Michelle Brown is the program coordinator at the Greenwood Cultural Center in Tulsa. She says there's no forgetting in Tulsa.
The racism that existed here during the race riot that, in fact, led to the race riot still exists. It is an inherited racism that has been passed down from generation to generation that has never truly been addressed. And while we see and hear people making racist comments and acting in a racist manner, when they are confronted about that racism, they deny being racist at all. So you can't address it or handle it, deal with it, if you're not even willing to admit that it exists.
So there's an honesty about history that Tulsa has failed to embrace, to deal with what happened in 1921 when 300 people were killed. The neighborhood in Greenwood, where you live, is that right?
Yes.
Was destroyed, looked like Aleppo in Syria. And now all that's washed over. And people in Tulsa, you could move into Tulsa tomorrow and never have any hint that that took place in 1921.
That's absolutely correct. If you were not to visit the Greenwood Cultural Center, where there are actually exhibits, you would not necessarily hear about it. And it's only been recently within the last year or so where they made it mandatory that it be taught in the public high schools in the history classes. However, they have a lot of leniency as to how much they talk about it. And many of the textbooks talk very little about or mention very little about the Tulsa race riot or Black Wall Street. There's always been an effort, and we've been talking about it for a little over 20 years, and there's always been an effort by people here to sweep it under the rug.
Michelle Brown, is the Holocaust taught in Tulsa public schools, the Diary of Anne Frank and that?
Yes.
Yeah. And the work of Elie Wiesel, who says never forget in thinking about the Holocaust?
Yes.
And so why is it never forget with something like the Holocaust that happened, in Europe to a certain extent? I mean, even though it involved lots and lots of people spread all over the world, how come the message is never forget there? And in an incident that happened in Tulsa in 1921, it's, oh, we need to move forward. We need to leave that in the past. That forgetting is the healthy thing to do, it seems, as though certain people say. What do you say to that?
When we were attending Black history classes during my youth, we talked about slavery. We talked about the civil rights era, and they never mentioned the events of the Tulsa race riot or Black Wall Street. And I think that there's definitely some reluctance to talk about a history that people know that their ancestors, that their relatives may have been and could have been involved in. We still have two living race riot survivors. We identified 165 survivors in 1996. And some of the people that were here shooting and killing innocent, unarmed men and women were children. They were some of them were children of Ku Klux Klan members who had been armed and brought to Greenwood and given permission to kill innocent people and knew that there would be no repercussion. So people don't want to acknowledge this part of our history. They don't want to talk about it because they know that they could have direct relatives that were involved in the killing and murdering of innocent, unarmed people here in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
All right, Michelle, how do you think that history and the knowledge of what you're describing that took place almost 100 years ago can help in the community dealing with the killing of Terrence Crutcher?
I think that what's so troubling and frustrating for us as a people today is that we are still dealing with that same racism that is still evident in our police department as it was in 1921, because there were police officers that were participating in the riot. But it helps us to understand who we are and where we come from and what we're able to overcome as a people.
Michelle Brown is the program coordinator at the Greenwood Cultural Center in Tulsa, which explores the history of the race riot in 1921 that killed 300 people and ravaged the neighborhood of Greenwood. Michelle, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.